Hi, I'm Theo Thompson.
And I'm Bill Woldridge.
And you found the Linwood Counseling Podcast. Okay, it is going into spring. Welcome back. We're happy to join you today. We are going to be talking about something that I guess it was kind of spurred on by the recent basketball tournament.
Right.
And advertising, right, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. It was an advertisement, which is fair.
Right.
But I'm going to let Bill tell you about this topic for this week, this month.
Right. So, this month, week.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk today about body positivity and how to instill that in your kids. And the reason this came up was for a couple of reasons. Number one was I was talking to somebody and we were talking about different sports and stuff. And she was mentioning that she didn't participate in some sports because she was bigger and she was embarrassed. She didn't want people to know and didn't feel comfortable in those sports. And as a bigger person myself, when I was younger, I had the same thing happen. Like, I used to be a swimmer and I used to hate having to wear the Speedo swimming suits because when you're a big person, they look really not so great. And I almost quit swimming because of it. And then I had that conversation, and then just watching March Madness this year, because Theo and I are watching that, of course, and watching it, there's a beautiful commercial, and it shows these young girls in different sports, basketball and gymnastics and stuff, and it talks about, and they're looking at themselves in the mirror in their uniform, and it talks about how many young people, especially girls, quit sports just because they don't have good body image. And I think that is so sad, and it's such a hard thing. And it kind of ties into our whole viewpoint of how our kids now are suffering when it comes to mobility and exercise and all these things. Like COVID did a number, but also video games and all this access to your phones and stuff has really cut down participation in sports. So when all these things were going, I kind of thought, and I talked to Theo, and I was like, we need to do a podcast on just how to teach your kids to be body positive. And again, for girls, it's so much more of a problem, but it's a problem for boys too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. And with already so many alternatives to movement out there, it's such a important thing to have your kids active and not just playing sports and stuff. I mean active as in going on hikes with you or playing outside, things like that. And so we thought we would do this. And you know, I think our kids have a lot of things going against them right now, and I'm a Gen X person, and so every day we went outside and played because there weren't video games. And I want to make it clear that I think if there were video games in my generation, we probably would have the same problem, because when Atari came on scene, I wanted to play Atari video games, you know. And so our kids are going through so much. So Let's talk about body positivity, and then we want to tie it into sports participation, activity participation, and just movement participation.
Yeah, and then going back to you, so parents out there, you know, people raising kids, not just parents, but guardians, you know, raising kids, you know, if I'm listening to this podcast, I'm thinking, okay, so what do I do? You know, where do I start? You know, where, you know, my kid is 8, they're 10, they're 12, they're 16, you know, they're all ages. You know, how do you go about doing this? And to me, I think the first thing that I think about, you kind of already touched on this, is instead of promoting necessarily sports, promoting activity, you know, healthy activity in general, seems really important, you know, whether, because not all kids like sports and that's okay. But just encouraging them to try a variety of things and not pushing kids into things because of a certain body type, Mm-hmm. You know, just letting them try what they want to try, and not, you know, putting a focus on sort of the end, like, can you be good at that sport? Who knows? But doing it because you're interested, it makes you feel good, and it's good for you.
Right.
Right. That's the first thing I think of, is just kind of starting there.
Right.
And you do that through, I guess, planning things, simple things. You know, you don't have to do anything major. You know, taking walks, like you were talking about. Bike rides on a path, scootering on a path. If you have electric scooters and stuff, you know, take a break from electric scooter a little bit and, you know, get off the electric scooter, get off the electric bike a little bit and do something off that. And those are fun too, but, you know, have some alternatives to some of those things.
Yeah.
Just encourage having fun outside playing.
Right.
Especially the young kids, right?
Right. And so that what that does is it instills movement into sort of life for them. So you aren't always saying like, and I'm going to preface this for all our parents who are going to roll their eyes a little bit, because I did do this sometimes with my kids growing up, but sometimes we fall back on when we're busy or when something's going on, we fall back on just watch this video or just go ahead and watch TV and stuff, because as a parent, you're working your mm-hmm. behind off. And sometimes it's okay to say, just watch this.
Yeah.
But if you have a culture within your family of movement and of playing and going outside and doing things, it makes it kind of easier where if a kid is bored or a kid is, you're needing them to do something, it's like, go out in the backyard and play, you know, go mm-hmm. out there and run around. And so I think that's what you're saying is the first part is instilling that movement culture back into our families, back into what you're doing. And again, that doesn't mean no video. I mean, if you believe in no video games, go for it. I mean, there are parents mm-hmm. who believe in no TV, no video games, and that's great.
Yeah.
But as for the majority of parents who I think probably have video games at home and probably have a TV, it doesn't mean you're saying you will never play these. It means that instead of leaning on them all the time, we teach our kids to go out and play and move and run and do things like that, so that they're not always leaning on, I'm bored, I'm going to play a video mm-hmm. game.
Yeah, definitely.
And so that kind of bridges to when a kid grows up with movement, and when a kid grows up with a culture of, we go on hikes on the weekend, or I walk around the block with mom or dad, or we walk down the street to get whatever instead of driving or whatever. That then leads into a lot of times activities, and which brings us to the second part of this. So we've said, okay, so you have your family and you've instilled movement into your family. Now your son or daughter wants to play a sport that maybe their body type doesn't fit, right? So for example, you got a kid who wants to play basketball, but he's a big kid, you know, he's carrying weight and everything. Sometimes I think the mistake is made twofold. One is the parents to be like, well, maybe you want to try this instead of just letting them play, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second is how that kid sees himself with these other basketball players, right? All these other kids. So the second part of this body positivity is making sure your kids know it's okay to try any sport they want. And when your kid comes back and says, well, maybe I don't look like everybody else in the sport, I think you need to talk to them about, like, that is absolutely okay. You don't have mm-hmm. to look like everybody else in the sport. And you can lean on different athletes and their different body types.
That's what I was thinking. Because in any sport out there, there's always wonderful stories about exceptions to the rule. As, you know, baseball. There's all these, like, even, you know, kids who struggle with disabilities or whatever. There's so many great stories out there of athletes who have pushed through that and persevered. And using those role models to spur and to motivate and to show the examples of kids who have pushed through that.
Right.
And not to get, you know, I think that just outwardly parents and family and guardians outwardly questioning that and with their kids is a powerful tool.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's all you got, you know, or if you have somebody else in your life you can pull on as well. Work together as a team, as a family, and push, you know, have those conversations with them and point out the injustice of that, you know, and just say, that's not okay.
Right. And letting your kid know that they're there to play that sport, and they don't need to worry about how they look in a uniform. What they need to worry about is having fun and running out there and being a good teammate. Or if you're working out alone, then doing your thing alone. But not how you look in a uniform and such. And it's a hard deal because there will be kids who will point that out to other kids, you know, and we all know there are people out there who aren't very nice.
Right.
But you also have these athletes like, you know, like in basketball, you had athletes like Charles Barkley and and this kid that's playing for NC State. I don't know if our listeners are into basketball, but there's a kid playing for NC State right now. They just lost in the tournament to go to the championship. But he's built like he's a big kid. And he's built that way, and he's an amazing basketball player. And a lot of times that kid would have been steered to football or steered to something else to use that size, and that would have been a shame because you would have missed out on a great basketball player. And I think it's okay to point those examples out to your kids. There are always exceptions, and our body type doesn't dictate how we run and how we move and how well we play. Right? We can, there are so many skills that we can have, even if our bodies don't look like everybody else that's in that sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a tough one. Excuse me. The peer-to-peer interaction, you know, you have probably the least control over that. And that's a tough one because there are kids, and, you know, and I don't, you know, kids who do that, I don't judge them. It's just a part of the whole system of inequality, really. It's the whole, it's a part of the whole system. You know, those kids have been coached in a certain way to do certain things and say certain things. But it can certainly come up. And so you have to, again, I guess confront that when it happens, you know, question it. Work obviously with coaches or whatever if it's happening, you know, don't let that happen, you know, to don't just accept that as a norm, like, hey, that's, you know, that's just what kids do. No, that's not just what kids do anymore. We don't just do that anymore. You know, we don't just tease people because of their body shape when they're doing a sport. So, you know, number one is that's not acceptable. So, you know, you address it with the right people in an appropriate way and in a kind way, not in a belligerent way. But then you also talk to your kids about it and, it's important. It's really important. And I think that's one of the things, you know, I'm going to step back for just a second in terms of strategies, but the most important thing we're trying to do is just bring awareness to it. You know, as you're raising your kids, is, I think one of the most important things we do is to be aware that this is going on. Like a lot of things in our society, it happens in a very subtle way. And so when we see it, name it. You know, don't let it go away. Don't let it go by unchecked.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a lot of things with parenting, right?
Right.
So that's just another piece of that.
And I think also when our kids come back and if they're saying, you know, I feel weird because I look different, I'm bigger or whatever, we as parents, it's the worst thing I think you can do is be like, well, okay, then you need to work out and we'll get you working out and we'll get you doing stuff. It's like, you got a kid and they may not, that's not what they're looking for. They're not saying, my skills aren't good, I need to get better. If that's the case, then you can say, okay, well, there's things you can do to get better in a sport.
Yeah.
But if they're saying, you know, I look different, even though you're trying to help, when you start saying, okay, well, then we'll just work you out, what you're basically telling them is, yeah, you need to look like everybody else. Your body is too big or whatever. But instead, you can go with asking them questions. Okay, so how do you feel about that? And what do you want to do? And and also just saying, like, you're not here to win a championship. This is fun. And especially when they're younger.
Right.
Like, it drives me crazy when you have these parents who are, you know, you got 7 or 8 year olds playing soccer, and these parents are acting like they're one step away from, you know, getting on the Olympic team. It's like, no, just let your kid have fun. Just, it's okay that you look different. You're just here to have fun.
Yeah.
Just run around, play, kick the ball. You know, and it's the same with any other sport. Like, trying to fix it by working your young kid out or whatever is never
Right.
It's the wrong message. The right message is it's okay to look different, and it's also okay to still have fun and play, and that everybody doesn't have to be the same to be good at something.
And it's not to confuse it with, like, low expectations, right? I think we never encourage that. I think that sometimes this gets confused. Like, if you're not, you know, if you're doing the things that we're talking about, you're not holding your kid up to do the best they can. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're saying. No. You know, it's okay to ask your kid to do the best they can. You know, that's what I expect of my son. He BMX rides, and I expect him to do the best he can. If he enjoys it, he does it because he likes to do it. I haven't pushed him into it. Mm-hmm. And when he goes out, you know, we put a lot of time and effort and money into this. So do the best you can. You know, just that's it. Just, you know, go out, have a good attitude, and that's what it's about. You know, but you can still hold your kid to a high expectation in terms of other things. You know, how they act. You know, how they treat people, the effort they give. You know,
and
are they quitting? Are they not? Because I do believe in, you know, when kids are doing sports, they should do the best they can. It's for their own good. That's the point of sports, right? Just what can you do?
Right.
What are you about? You know. And,
but the best you can at 7 is different than the best you can at 14.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, and so there's a difference. Yeah. Like, I will say, and I will say this: my older son was a pretty darn good basketball player, and he went through all the stuff and played AAU, which is like club ball, and it's super serious. And and he would come back and say, "I need to work on this," and we would go to the gym and he would work on shots or work on whatever. And I worked him, you know, because he was saying, "I want to work on this."
Yeah,
right?
Right, that's different, yeah.
But when he was 7, I wasn't yelling at him about the fact that he needs to, you know, get his elbow in when he shoots the ball. That should be the time to have fun, and that should be the time that a kid shouldn't have to worry about their body and how they look. They should be out there having fun. And you can motivate your kiddo to have fun, and if your kiddo decides, football's for me, even though they're a little person, you know, but they love football and they want to play, then that's when you can say, okay, well, what do you think? How can I help you? You know, and that's where you can give them a bunch of praise about, you know, body size, and like, you don't have to be the biggest guy in the field. There's positions for you and there's things you can do. So whether your kid is overweight, underweight, tall, short, whatever, the message needs to be like, we're all different. We're all different body types, and you can still find a place in that sport to have fun. Now, you know what? Your kid may not be a pro. Not very many are. But my goodness, they can at least have fun and then grow, have an interest in it. So maybe that little guy who's playing football plays football through high school and has a blast, and then decides to go into sports management or go into something to do with that sport. And then they get that joy out of that too, or they become a coach or whatever. It's just that when you're telling a kid at a young age that, maybe you should do something else because you don't look the part, you're just stifling, and you're taking a potential person who could have done something in the sport or done something around the sport, and you're stealing that from them. And I'm not big on that. It's frustrating to me. And it's frustrating to me as a coach. I coach football, and it's frustrating to me as a coach.
Well, I see kids often that, you know, at the high school level that I think want to do sports, but they hesitate. But I see the frustrating part for me is that I see how much that would benefit them if they did it.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part for me to swallow, is be like, you know, because I try to encourage them, we'll come down and do things at recess or at lunch, or not recess, but lunch for high school. And I can see their interest, but they've already had it ingrained in them that they shouldn't do it because it's embarrassing or whatever. But those kids need that. They need that connection. They need that whatever. There's so many things you learn from sports that you only get from sports. It's the only way to really get that kind of thing in your life.
Right.
So it's hard to watch. And so I guess that's why it's particularly important when you're young.
Yeah.
And I think also, I was thinking about this too, on the other side of this, you know, if you do see your kid And they're just kids. But if you do see your kid body shaming somebody or, you know, doing something to somebody else, call them on it, you mm-hmm. know, and have a conversation with them. And like anything, like we talk about, you know, have conversations about why and why it's important and what we're depriving people of if we do that to them, you know. And, mm-hmm. you know, be that person in your kid's life to help them be a builder, you know, steer them towards building that kid up, you know, and being a builder in life and building other kids up on your team, and the value of that. Mm-hmm. Because there's that other flip side too, you know, if your kids are doing it, it's, you know, they're kids, they, you know, they do things, you know, they get messages about it, and, you know, be that person too, you know, yeah. to be a power in your kid's life and help them to switch over to be an advocate for kids.
Right.
Especially right. if they're very talented. You know, if your kid's yeah. very talented and you know who you are, yeah, if your kid's a leader and talented, you have an extra responsibility, right? I mean, mm-hmm. with great, was it Spider-Man? With great
yeah.
power comes great spot. But it's true, right? Yeah. I love that line because it's so true. If you are a fantastic athlete, you have an extra responsibility to build other people up. You just right. do. I believe in that. Some people might disagree with that. But.
You can. I've seen it as a coach. You can be a positive leader yeah. or you can be a negative leader. And mm-hmm. and negative leaders can ruin teams and they can ruin yeah. experiences for people because yeah. there's nothing worse than learning mm-hmm. a sport or struggling in a sport but wanting to get better and having somebody who it just naturally is good at it put you down and tease you and stuff. Why would you want to do that sport?
Right.
And again, that's just taking that experience away. But if you have that same player who's amazing at that sport and they're there picking you up and telling you good job and pushing you and, you know, that's a whole different experience. And so if your kid is one of those kids, I think it's okay to get in their ear and talk about, like, you need to be a positive leader because there's lots of kids that maybe aren't at your skill level and you can help them just by being there saying good job. I mean, that what kids say to kids is so much more powerful than what adults
yes,
say to kids.
Yes, that's so true.
And
yeah,
which
so
brings
true.
Us back to, all the way back to body positivity, right? That's why it's so important to teach your kids to not just judge people by their body type and not make fun of people or tease yeah. people because yeah. of their body type and what they're trying to do, because mm-hmm. your kids have so much more power than you do.
Yeah, they, and that's the thing too. Like, if your kid is the kid who's kind of maybe doing something to somebody else, that kid, maybe they'll be on the other end of it someday. And just think, if you're that person who's putting that negative energy out there, and then all of a sudden you're on the other side of that, maybe your body changes or whatever, mm-hmm. you're never going to do sports because that kind of karma comes back to you,
yeah.
you know? And all of a sudden you're not the person you were or whatever, and mm-hmm. you can't meet your own expectation. You're the hardest critic on yourself and kids too.
Yeah.
If that kid, that can turn on you. So that's another reason, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a good idea, Bill. I'm glad we talked about this today. I hope that your kids, whatever they're at, whether you're raising some your grandkids or you have foster kids or you have kids that you've gave birth to, I hope that this gives you some thoughts as you raise them into young athletes or at least young active people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not pushing make them all athletes. We're just talking about let them be active.
But before we close out for today, we do have one last part. That is, what have you learned lately?
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
And continuing with the trend, I think, Bill, well, we both kind of learned something, but I'm going to let you lead us off here. This is another, we both learned something.
Yeah, I think Theo and I both learned that no matter how hard we try, we will never win a March Madness bracket.
No.
If you guys have been listening, you know that both of us are athletes in our own way. We play very different sports, and we did different stuff, but we're both athletes, right? Whether it's Theo running and playing tennis, or me with basketball and football, we're in that mentality. We watch basketball. We mm-hmm. like sports. And I tell you what, no matter how much I like college basketball or pro basketball and all this stuff, when it comes to March Madness, no matter how prepared I think I am, I never can win this darn thing. And so what I've learned is I need to stop overthinking things. I think next time I need to just flip a coin for each team and see How that does.
The
because
problem with that, though, I told you this, is that I was flipping a coin. See, I flipped a coin this year. I was like, I'm done. I'm done. And your emotional response kicks in. And you go to flip a coin, and then the ducks come up, and they didn't pick the ducks on my coin, and I'm like, nope. So it's hard to even flip a coin.
It's hard.
Your brain.
It's funny. I'll leave you guys with this. I've done a basketball, March Madness basketball pool for probably the last 10, 15 years at my school. And it's very popular and it's a lot of fun. And we have all of our teachers, not all of our teachers, but a lot of our teachers involved and their families and everything. And every year it's never the person who's more educated in the sport that wins. It's just the person who, I don't even know if, you know, I used to say it must be luck, but then I've been unlucky for 15 years. I mean, I think I think Theo's right in that they don't have their emotion behind it.
I think what I'm going to do next year is I'm going to go back to the one year I won was the year that I did one for my wife. And my wife won.
Yeah, that's right. You need to do one for
her. She did nothing to it. I mean, I picked the teams. I did all the watching. But
yeah, maybe we need to do that.
I think I'm going back to that.
Yeah. Well, for all you people who are watching March Madness out there, enjoy watching these athletes.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
And then for everybody else, we really appreciate you guys listening. We're a homegrown podcast. We don't advertise that much. And so it's so important if you are listening to spread the word and let people know.
We don't get anything. Subscribe.
Yeah, we don't get anything out of this other than we just get to talk about these things. And so if you like listening, hit subscribe.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great spring.
See you guys.